we have to love what we're doing. There has to be this extreme passion and this, you know, determination to do what we're doing, because when we hit the entrepreneurial dips, we need to maintain that. And you can't do it if you're just chasing the dollar.
Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where great dentistry meets great business. In today's episode, I'm absolutely delighted to be having a conversation with Jemima Ashley and Siobhan Joyce. These two ladies are two of the smartest, savviest entrepreneurs going around at the moment, and they are the hosts and creative brains behind the Business Experiment podcast. Their show is predicated on the belief that there is a real need to get real about business, to share what's really happening, not just the stuff that people want to tell you at the polite conversation during dinner parties or what you see on a Facebook feed. These guys get their businesses and strip them back and leave nothing out. They reveal everything, what's working, what's not. They talk very frankly about failure and how to deal with it, because let's face it, every single one of us has had a failure and had a disappointment. And they talk about the need to develop resilience, and indeed they talk about how to develop your business resilience. They talk also about what's working in business and some of the lessons that they've learned in their own business journey, but equally things that they've learned by observing others and by being mentored and mentoring others as well. These two ladies are not only super smart and bright business people, they're really fun, they're really gregarious, and it's been a lot of fun to have a conversation with them today. So I hope you've got a pen and paper handy. I know you're going to get loads of really good information out of this podcast, and you know, make sure you take action on the information they share, because it's gold and everything they share is real, and I can guarantee you that there is no sugarcoating, no fluff. It's just pure, simple, gold marketing business advice ready to take in and apply in your own business. So without any further ado, here are Jemima Ashley and Siobhan Joyce. Siobhan and Jemima, welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. Thanks so much for coming on the call today. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to come and hang with us. How's things?
Good. Thank you for having us. We're so excited to be here.
Yeah, great to be here.
Yeah, look, it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, this is a bit of a novelty for me because I get to speak to two people at once. And we've got Jemima here in Canberra, which is where I am, and Siobhan, you're up in Brisbane. So Jemima and I are freezing and you're basking in glorious, beautiful, warm weather. but we're not jealous. That's okay.
Sunshine State.
Chev, on a side note, we'll both be visiting a little bit later today.
Yeah. What time do you want us for dinner?
Yeah, exactly. Well, they don't call it the Sunshine State for nothing. So, yes, it's lovely and warm up here. I'm enjoying it. Although I have to say, I've just moved from Melbourne about 3 months ago and I've already acclimatized. So, actually, I'm feeling pretty cold. Melbourne's 8 at the moment. So, I'm sure people in Melbourne would be like, you've got nothing to worry about there. But, yeah, it's amazing how quickly you acclimatize.
Zero sympathy from our chef.
Yeah,
just saying.
All the Melbourne people are going to start sending you hate mail right about now. So that's okay. That's fine. Hey, guys, you guys run a lot of really cool stuff. You know, Jemima, you're involved in your jewelry creation with Tangs Design. And Siobhan, you've got your business coaching and mentoring for female entrepreneurs. You run a podcast. You've got partnerships with some really cool people like Thank You. Is there anything you guys don't do? Because, like, this is just, like, overachievement central with you guys here.
Siobhan doesn't cook at all.
Oh, really?
I do cook. What don't we do? I'm not very good at juggling.
Okay. So me inviting us to dinner at Siobhan's was probably not a good idea.
No.
That was a terrible idea.
Although I would cater, or we'd get pizza, something like that.
That's cool.
Sounds good. I'm in. The only thing we really don't do, Jesse, is juggling or dentistry. Those are probably our big ones. Cooking, juggling, and dentistry.
Okay. All right. Well, I reckon we've got the dentistry bit covered for you. So that just leaves out the cooking and the juggling or other bits.
Excellent.
Cool.
And we can order pizza. We've already figured that out.
So we're fine. We've got all bases covered. So guys, firstly, as I said earlier, just thanks so much for taking the time of your day to come and hang with us. I'm really curious because the Business Experiment, your podcast, is, you know, a really wonderful show. I know Koshi has recommended it as one of the top 10, you know, podcasts to have a listen to. Koshi, where's my invitation for that? Thank you very much, just in case you're listening, buddy. But but I'm really curious, you know, what was the impetus behind the podcast?
Oh, it's a good story. So Chev and I have known each other forever. Like, we've been best friends since we were in kindergarten together. That's how long we've known each other, which if anyone's playing the game at home would mean we're over 18. So we had remained friends for a very, very long time. And I started Tang's Design back in 2015. And Siobhan started her coaching business and every now and again would call and just ask sort of a business question that was very vague. And usually, you know, how do you pick a business name or get an ABN? And just questions that startup businesses often have. And we would just think we were hilarious when we'd have conversations. I mean, we've known each other forever. We can make jokes out of anything. And it all came about while I was in Perth for a small break over there. And Chev and I had been speaking in depth about mindset. We were talking about how to start businesses, about information out there that wasn't very factual on how to start businesses and maybe even a little bit misleading. And we were talking particularly about clickbait, and hung the phone up from Chev, and I immediately was tagged in an article from a friend of mine on Facebook, which was called How to Get Ahead in Business. And one of the tips was how to eat. You should eat an apple a day and meditate 5 times a day. I rang Chev back and I was like, we actually need to provide real life information. We're doing a podcast. So it really was just, we were a bit over the misinformation. We're a bit over clickbait articles that weren't really helpful. And what we wanted to do was talk about what it was really like to be in business, because so few people were talking about this business real concept and saying it's really hard. There are really hard days. There are really great days. There, you have a lot of success, but there are days when you will just want to quit.
Yeah. And I think the thing as well, like a lot of the things we talked about as well, were things that no one ever really talks about in terms of the experiences that business owners go through. But these are things that we really, really need to talk about. So, for example, there's a lot of people going out into business and entrepreneurship not really understanding what it actually takes to be successful and what business owners and entrepreneurs actually have to go through. And so we would talk about things like, you know, experiences we'd had at networking events, or, you know, when we'd have days which were like the entrepreneurial dip, for example, which is one of our episodes that we talk about, which is, you know, bad days when you're the boss and how to actually get through that. And we just couldn't find information out there that was really real and candid about all of these different experiences. And so we were like, we just have to be the change that we seek. And so we kind of got ourselves, like, we were like, how hard could this be? Just start a podcast, get a couple of $50 headsets and start recording via Skype. And, you know, we never thought, like, we thought, well, what's the worst that could happen? No one listens and no one cares about this conversation. But what we failed to think about, Jesse, is that over 40 countries would care and it would suddenly take off, and that we would actually be creating a whole new niche of business conversation. And I think through starting our podcast, like, we have many times when business owners will email us and be like, look, you know, you helped me get through my business today. You helped me stop from quitting my business today. We had a really candid podcast about a massive failure that we had in our own business. And we've had people write in and openly talk for the first time about their own failures. And I think the beauty of our podcast is that we document our experiences in real time, and that includes our wins and our failures. And there's not a lot of people out there actually, you know, actually having the courage to do that. And I think that there are a lot of business owners out there that were really disconnected, which are now feeling more connected and understanding that, you know what, a lot of this stuff is stuff that other business owners really, really go through. It's not just them.
Yeah, I think that's really critical as well, because if you were to read everything in your Facebook feed and take it as, you know, gospel, you'd think everyone else has got it all sorted. Their life is epic and mine's pretty ordinary by comparison.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, and I mean,
no one, yeah, not even,
yeah,
us.
Nah.
Yeah, and I think the thing is, like, there are so many, you know, everyone's out there, like, laptop lifestyle, like, they've got all these Instagram, like, or Insta fake, as we like to call them, images of themselves with, you know, all of these cars that they've hired and, like, all of this kind of stuff. And I'm not saying that there's not people out there who don't really have those things or don't really have those experiences, but what I'm saying is that people are tired of the Insta fake. They're tired of having to put up this facade about what business is like, and this is contributing to business failure, because people are going into business and they're like, well, why are all these people succeeding? They've got Ferraris and I don't. When you really look into it, you know, one has to question how real that really is. So I think that is the kind of, we've been the connector in that way.
I think that's really lovely. And one of the things that I've found as well, because there's a whole lot of catharsis that comes when you can actually take that superhero mask off and reveal exactly what's going on. I think for the people that do have the Insta-fake lifestyle, it must be such a lot of energy to keep that up. And so the opportunity for people to resonate with your message and say, you know, let's be real about this and put down that superhero cape or that mask or whatever it happens to be and get real about things, I think is really lovely, because it's true, it's authentic. And, you know, I think a lot of people can see through the, I'm trying to use a word other than bull, but that's the first one that comes to mind. They can see through that. And I agree that there's this need for a real and genuine conversation. And what I wanted to start with, guys, is you've touched on quite a few things already, and I can't let the conversation go on without picking up some of these threads and trying to weave a tapestry with it. You mentioned in the start there that you document your successes and your failures. And so every business is going to have its successes and failures. What would be, you know, probably one of the biggest blunders or boo-boos or missteps you guys made in your business? And I've got tons of them too, so I'm happy to share as well. What would be a couple of the blunders that you've made? And but more importantly, you know, what were the lessons that came out of that?
Oh, Jesse, you can, if you want to listen to our biggest failure, we recorded a whole podcast on this. So in... Sit down, kids. I'm going to tell you a story. In 2016, we decided we had this brilliant idea that we were going to do a business experiment roadshow. And we went out and asked people, what do you guys want from us? We've got all these people tuning in, people writing in, what can we do? And we asked everybody. We asked our audience. We put Facebook polls up. We did all of this. And everyone said, we want to see you guys live. We want to meet you. We want to hang out with you. And so we had this idea about spreading the message. And we planned a roadshow. And the roadshow was going to go for a week, and we hired the Perth Wildcats MC, who's a friend of ours and a friend of the show, and we booked flights and we booked accommodation and we did all of this, and it was a really great idea. What no one told us was you should never try to do an event just after Christmas. A few things happened. All businesses shut down. Also, no one has any money. So when we're saying it's only $60 for a ticket, people are like, well, we agree with that, but also I've just blown out my credit card. So we spent months working on this. We worked Christmas. We worked New Year trying to get this off the ground. And it failed gloriously. We sold, you know, we had venues pull out. We had caterers pull out. We had, but we'd paid for the accommodation, the travel. We had taken time off work. We had gotten other people to take time off work. We had thrown, I think the estimate that we came up with was about $10,000. And the roadshow fell over. Gloriously.
Oh,
and it was an absolute failure. I think there's no other way to put that. So we did have a lot of people buy tickets. We did have a lot of support from people. And when we sort of said we're struggling, we had to come out and actually go, this hasn't worked. We actually had this great idea and it fell over. And that was probably one of the most heartbreaking moments of our lives, was actually saying this isn't working and having to call it quits. That conversation was difficult. That was tears. That was difficult. And what probably made it more difficult was Chev and I made a decision after we made the call. We were like, it's 2 weeks before we leave. We've had venues pull out. We've had caterers pull out. We have, you know, lost accommodation. We were hemorrhaging money, and we knew that if we continued, we were just going to lose more money. So we had to make a decision. And we had that conversation of like, right, we're calling it. We canceled everything. We had to, in very public style. But the other thing is we did is we said, well, we need to do a podcast right now. And we got onto the podcast, and the first time we spoke about it was live to all of our listeners. And it was one of the most downloaded podcasts we've done. But we also, after that, we were inundated with love. And people say, I usually laugh with you, and I want to have a beer with you, and I want to have a coffee with you while I'm podcasting. And these people were writing in going, I was actually crying with you guys in a very, very public failure, in a very, very public forum. So there were some big lessons that came out of that. Yeah, Chev?
Yeah, and I think the thing is that, like, people started writing into us, and I kind of mentioned this before, but started writing into us and going things like, well, guess what? I've failed worse, and I've never spoken about it to any other business owner before. I never felt like I could actually talk about this. And I think when we came out and talked about that failure on the podcast, it really cemented that we were serious about being real. We were serious about being genuine, and we were serious about documenting our journey in real time. And I think the other thing to remember too is that, you know, Jemima and I have many different skills and talents, many different, you know, different types of experiences, you know, and we have other businesses as well. But we have actually never run a podcasting business before. We'd never been in media and entertainment before. So we were like, well, where do we take this? What do we do with this? And we were like, let's experiment, which is kind of, you know, we're called the business experiment.
Exactly.
And yeah, and some experiments don't work out. But then, you know, even though we had that, you know, real epic failure, which I think, to be honest, we're both still kind of getting over, even though we can see the beauty in it, it's still something that we're getting over. But you know, we can have that epic failure with an event, and then now we've got a launch event with Thank You, who you mentioned before, is one of we've just signed a partnership with them. We're an impact partner for them. And we've got events coming up on the weekend, which, you know, we've had to just release more tickets for because people are just signing up left, right and center. So people talk about authenticity a lot, Jesse. And I think more than authenticity, it's about being real. And when you're real with people and you're genuine with people, you know, something really amazing happens. And I think even if, you know, as painful as it was, even if we had to go through that experience again and document it publicly, because people forget that our lives have kind of become public now, which we talk about so much on the podcast. Mm. It was totally worth it, if, you know, purely for being able to demonstrate to other business owners that, you know what, you're not alone and it's okay to fail and you can survive that. I think that was a big thing as well. People are so afraid of failing and not their business not surviving that, whereas really, like, success is temporary, failure is temporary, and that's the resilience piece that's so crucial for entrepreneurship.
Yeah, and I think it really did prove that we were doing, like, you know, we had sort of painted ourselves into a corner in a way of saying, we're going to tell you exactly what goes on. But there was also something really relieving with just being able to go, guys, this hasn't worked. And it was, you know, we often found that we would hear really high-end entrepreneurs and really successful entrepreneurs who would say things on stage like, oh, I was $60,000 down in debt, but now I'm worth $500 million. No one was actually saying I'm $60,000 down in debt and this is where I am in real time. And so, you know, I think it really, it's kind of been refreshing as well to be able to be that honest.
One of the things you guys touched on, which again, I'd really love to pick up and run with, is a few little things, is sometimes running a business can feel a little lonely. And obviously you guys have got each other to speak to, and that's a wonderful thing that you have. Not everyone, of course, has that. And the other thing you spoke about was resilience. So what I wanted to just kind of get your thoughts on was really about how to cultivate resilience, if it is indeed possible. And secondly, how to overcome the loneliness factor of feeling like I'm the only person lying awake at night thinking about this. How can, you know, I tap into, you know, some sort of community where people can, you know, talk and share, and I can develop my resilience muscles at the same time?
This is a running theme in our podcast, is we talk about regularly the sum of the five people. And so for entrepreneurs out there, you will have heard this quote 1,000 times and different numbers being placed in there, but you are really the sum of the people that you spend the most time with. And I mean, your network has to be really strong. That's a lot of where I think Chev will speak at length more to resilience with her mindset coaching background. But, you know, you aren't alone, but you also have to make it so you aren't actually alone. You have to, it's really hard to be an entrepreneur and not know any other entrepreneurs. If you're going through the entrepreneurial dip, which is, you know, really an exit door for where a lot of people leave and go, no, I'm going to go back to my full-time job or get a job at Woolies or whatever that looks like for you. There are a lot of people who don't understand that that's actually a natural part of the cycle of being an entrepreneur. And you having people around you who also understand that, and people who are smarter than you, and people who can actually come to your aid when you need help, is so vital. Chev and I have this project together. We have other businesses separately. We have different networks, and it's beautiful that we can actually ring each other and be like, just, you know, decompress. But it's also really hard for us to decompress about the podcast to each other or talk about the failure of the, you know, it was, we had to really have our other networks to go to and speak about, oh, we've had this massive failure. I think a lot of my resilience specifically has come from talking to other people who are happy to be authentic with me as well. And building a network and having the right five people around me was paramount.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that Jem and I have noticed too, like, I think tribe is so important. And I think something that we've been able to create, and particularly with our experimental as anything Facebook group, which is a group where people who listen to the podcast come in and they are able to connect over the business reel. And these are people that, you know, they might have tribes outside of the group, but a lot of them don't. They don't have those people who they can really trust to go and talk to. And so we've had, you know, in our experimental as anything group, we've had people come in and have absolute meltdowns in that group that at that point in time, you know, that is, they're at rock bottom. And we've had people who are helping them. We've had people who've actually gone on to form like offline relationships. They'll call each other. We've had people who have created, like they were once competitors, but now they actually help each other in business and work together. So yeah, to Jemima's point, I think tribe is really, really important. I think the main thing with resilience is a lot of people kind of feel like resilience is something where, you know, something bad happens and you should just bounce back. You know, you should just be like, oh, I'm resilient, you know, and just keep going, keep plowing through. And I think one of the key things about resilience is actually being able to take a moment to feel how you need to feel. So, you know, if you are having an entrepreneurial dip, or you do have a failure, or something happens, I think first and foremost, be real with yourself about how you're feeling. Don't feel like you need to kind of put on this brave face, or, you know, that you shouldn't be feeling this way. Be honest with yourself and acknowledge you're human, and, you know, we have emotions for a reason, and you're allowed to feel disappointed about it. You're allowed to feel upset about it, and give yourself, you know, the time and the space to do that. But then once you've had a moment to do that, like, that's temporary as well. Don't, you know, wallow in your misery forever, because that's not actually going to get you anywhere. But once you've had a moment to kind of process how you feel about something, then make a conscious decision around, right, well, what am I going to do about this next? And, you know, what have I actually learned from this? And, you know, what kind of is the next step? And I think it's kind of like a muscle. When you're first out there and you're starting your business and you have your first big failure or your first entrepreneurial dip, it feels like the end of the world. But then as you learn and go through and practice being resilient and understand what you particularly need at different stages of your business, then, you know, it becomes a bit easier. You know, you kind of build that muscle. But Jemima and I, you know, it's so great that we do have each other that we can talk to, but by the same token, we're very different. And so what we need at different points in our business is completely different. Jemima needs, you know, she needs just to build the blanket for and kind of just withdraw and be alone for a little while. And I'm the type of person who's like, right, let's talk about what happened. And so we've had to learn together, you know, what is it that we each need in different situations before we can actually figure out, you know, what the next step is and where are we going to go from here.
It's basically marriage, right? Like, we had to get married really quickly. It was like, oh, friends too. Marriage really quickly.
Yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit about entrepreneurialism, because I just want to give you a little bit of context. I remember some years ago, I had my first practice here in Canberra. We sold it, moved back to Brisbane, which was home. I was working at a practice there. It was very staid, very establishment, if you will. And I really believe that entrepreneurialism is the key for our future in so many ways, because for me, an entrepreneur is agile, they're creative, they take a risk that's calculated, they're adaptable, and all those wonderful things. But for dentists, up until recently, up until only the last 2 or 3, maybe 4 years, to be called an entrepreneur was a slight. It was almost like the worst thing someone could say to you, in the sense that the inference was that you were there for the money only and you didn't care about people. And of course, completely disagree with that. The opposite is in fact true. And I remember this guy saying to me once as an insult, oh, you're such an entrepreneur, Jesse. And I've always, you know, thought about that. And at the time saying, you know, you're absolutely right, I am. But I wanted to get your thoughts on entrepreneurialism and what being an entrepreneur means to you guys. And again, the essential qualities that you see that great entrepreneurs display, and how people might take that into their practice and apply it for their own success.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of words out there that people place negative connotations on. Entrepreneurship, hustling, you know, all of these kinds of things. And I really think that it is what you make it. So I think it's really the intention behind it. So, you know, you can have entrepreneurial skills and tendencies, but if your intention is, and actually your intention in entrepreneurship should always be to solve problems for your customer and to help your customer and to be there for your customer. But I really think it's the intention behind what you do. You know, if you go out into entrepreneurship or you go out hustling just to rip people off, well, that's bad. But if you go, if you set the right intention and you use your entrepreneurial skills in the right way to solve problems for your customer, then that's like, that's only going to be a positive thing, right?
I completely agree. And I think, you know, it's just coming from, I suppose, what is traditionally quite a conservative profession, one that's undergoing some radical change at the moment. Dentists are having more commercial pressure than ever before in terms of competition, influence from health insurance companies and the like. So up until recently, you know, you didn't particularly need to focus on the business side of your practice because the whole supply-demand thing was such that you could open your doors and you'd be right. But now that's changed. So I think there's an increasing awareness that people need to create some sort of business acumen. And, you know, entrepreneurialism is certainly a very common topic these days and gets a lot of favorable press. But it wasn't always that way. And so I see the dental profession really, for those that are going to succeed in the future, are the ones who can embrace the positive qualities of entrepreneurialism and add value, solve problems, and do all of that. I guess from your perspective, because you speak to so many different business owners, you know, we hang a lot in the dental space and we talk to other people as well, but you see a very broad cross-section of people. What are the common threads that you see of the most successful business owners or entrepreneurs that you come across?
So I think the first one is that the people that we speak to who are successful entrepreneurs, I think, are always extremely driven. I think that that is the first thing, because you have an ambitious and you have to know your why and why you're doing the things that you're doing. So, for example, going back to a dentist point of view, dentistry is obviously something that you care about. Chev, going to a point of view of working with female entrepreneurs, is passionate about women in business. We have to love what we're doing. There has to be this extreme passion and this, you know, determination to do what we're doing, because when we hit the entrepreneurial dips, we need to maintain that. And you can't do it if you're just chasing the dollar, because the other secret is that nobody, there's not a lot of money in entrepreneurship, especially in the first couple of years. I think that the second thing that we've seen consistently is that the people that we've met aren't afraid to take risks, but at the same time are very good with their gut, and listening to their gut when they need to. And I think you can meet a lot of entrepreneurs who aren't afraid to take risks, but also knowing when to call it when it's a failure and course correct as required. We have this saying on the podcast a lot: you have to hold your idea tightly but loosely at the same time, and when it's not working, you have to acknowledge that, because you'll meet so many people, I think, in the entrepreneurial community who have this idea and won't let it go. And you have to really, you know, you have to really be rolling with the tides as kind of required. And I think that the third, and the, this is the real, what I really identified as one of the key things between a business owner versus an entrepreneur, is the craving of learning and the desire of personal development and the desire to learn more, even about your field, about different fields, about, you know, studying, going on and doing additional education stuff in dentistry. Jesse, this would be a key thing for you. There will be a lot of dentists who don't go on and do additional things, who don't go and learn more about the healthcare system, the changes to Australian healthcare, you know, legislation or anything that happens. We have to continually evolve and ever change. And I think the biggest and strongest way we can do that is through education and also through personal development.
I think for me, the biggest thing, you know, like thinking about the dentistry industry and also entrepreneurship, is how you differentiate yourself. And I think a lot of people go out in business and think about how they should do things. And notwithstanding that, you know, when you're a dentist, there are obviously ways that things need to be done. You know, you want to make sure that you are, you know, adhering to patient care and, you know, laws and all that kind of thing. But I mean, in the business sense, I think that the sooner you can get your mind around that it's a blank canvas and how you differentiate yourself as a dentist or as a business owner and how you connect with your ideal clients is really going to be paramount. And I think the sooner that entrepreneurs are able to move away from what they think they should do and be creative and experiment and try different things, the sooner that they really find their groove. If you just, you know, if you're just kind of like, well, I'm a dentist and people need dentistry, and just open the doors and they'll come, well, some might come, but some might not. But when you're thinking about, and it's not just dentistry, but plumbing, you know, like all sorts of different things, like what is your unique differentiator? Like, why do people want to come to you as their dentist versus going to another dentist or, you know, and obviously that's going to be, there's going to be influences on location and all of that kind of thing as well. But I think personal branding is huge in entrepreneurship, and being innovative and different is huge in entrepreneurship. And if you aren't able to really tap into what makes you different and what differentiates you from the rest of the market, then you kind of become a same-same like the rest of the market. And, you know, I think our podcast is a really great example of that, because we've, you know, people are like, well, you can't talk about those things. And we're like, well, we're going to
watch us.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, you know, we've broken the business rules. We've come out and started talking about things that, you know, previously was taboo to talk about. And I think while dentistry is different to that, and obviously you need to make sure you adhere to the laws and all of that kind of thing, I just think, like, think about, you know, each dentist out there listening to this, think about what is unique about you, your business, your practice, your team, what innovative things are you offering to the world, what do you specifically, how do you specifically connect with your customers and your buyers, and why would they want to come to you as opposed to the dentist down the road?
Yeah. Again, I really love that, because, you know, the problem for a lot of dentists is they do the same thing. And what ends up happening is they become commoditized, and all of a sudden, you know, they fall into the trap of saying, I'm the same as someone but better, or I'm the same as someone but cheaper, which is even worse. And all of a sudden, you know, things go south at a rather rapid rate. And guys, one of the things that I've listened to quite a few of your podcasts, and one of the things that I really like that you guys do is you do have those really meaty conversations, the stuff that is real, what you've just said earlier. And on that, you know, one of the things I'm really curious to kind of ask you about and get your opinion on is, you know, you guys have started businesses, you know, multiple businesses, you know, and you said, you know, the whole eat an apple a day and meditate under the tree, you know, was some of the, you know, apparently that's not good advice. Who knew? Damn, after all this time I've been doing it.
I know, it was shocking, wasn't it? I was like, oh my goodness, I've been doing this wrong the whole time. I've been having bananas.
I know, if only someone had told me. But so what I want to try and figure out though is, you know, something really practical, because, you know, there'll be people listening to the podcast who are in business, there'll be some contemplating their own practice. And so I'm wanting to just, you know, think about the people, particularly who are just contemplating going into business for the first time. What sort of tips or advice or things would you say to them who are just, you know, on the verge of going, yeah, I think this is the path I want to take? What sort of comments would you make to those guys?
Yeah, we have so many. So first of all, we'd say, like, listen to our podcast. It's the first
one. Yeah.
Like, honestly.
Do you want some actual practical tips on how to start a business? Who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, there's so much stuff. There's so much that we could go on forever about.
The first thing, Chev, clearly is don't overthink this, because you're never going to be ready. This is the thing. And I feel like this is pretty much one of our mantras, right? People will say to us, like, I've got an idea, but I don't really know how to do it. Spoiler alert, no one really knows what they're doing. We're all kind of just winging it and just trusting our gut and doing the things that we need to do. Hopefully, Jesse, you being a dentist, you actually know kind of more what you're doing rather than in an entrepreneurial sense of we'll see how tomorrow goes. So we kind of wing it all the time and just have to sort of have this gut feeling and try. And I think a lot of it's intuition mixed with gut feeling, and then also mixed with history and prior learning the things that you know to be true. So I think don't be the person overthinking it. If you have an idea, just start, and start somewhere, because the only way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time. It looks scary and it looks daunting, but you're actually never going to be 100% ready for this. You've just got to start.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's really crucial. But I also think, like, have some kind of plan. Like, we were at a breakfast once or some kind of event where there was a lady there who was like, oh, I'd recommend that if you're going out to start a business that you have at least 3 months worth of salary saved. And we were like, 3 months? Man, you need to have at least like 12 months of salary saved, because you just don't know what's going to happen. And often people will be like, oh, well, you know, I'll go out and I'll start this business, and in 6 months I'll be earning what I was earning in my previous job, and it'll all be good. And then what happens is they go out and things happen, like, oh, there's a freak, you know, like, hailstorm at Jemima's house, which totals her car.
That happened first week of me being an entrepreneur, leaving my six-figure salary in public service. My car got totaled and my laptop died. And I was like, oh, the money I had saved went out the window very quickly.
Yeah, so I think being prepared that, you know, it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. And just be smart about, particularly the first 12 months, But I also think, like, people will react different ways to you going out in business, and some people will be really, really supportive about it, and then other people won't be as supportive, and they will make comments. Like, you are going to get the comments, and some of them are from a place of love and some of them aren't. And I think there are times in business where you have to believe in yourself, even when nobody else believes in you. And, you know, we had this when we started our podcast. You know, people were like, who's going to want to listen to two women talking about business? Like, these are comments that we
really
actually had. Yeah. And so just understand that, you know, find your tribe, and also absolutely understand that it will change. But it's going to have times where you are the only person who's going to believe in your vision. And going back to your point around what makes some of the greatest entrepreneurs, I think they are obsessed with the end goal and they just keep going. Like, obviously they course adjust as we've spoken about, but they really keep going. So, you know, just believe in yourself and start somewhere and be smart about it. And if you need help, you know, find those people who you can ask the questions to, who you can trust and who can help you.
Yeah. So again, there's so much gold in there, guys. So for anyone listening, I hope you got your pen and paper handy. Hit pause, go back, listen to all of that, because there's just absolute, you know, nuggets of gold there that the ladies have shared such wisdom and insight. And one of the things, you know, we've touched on briefly is, you know, the bad advice, because, you know, obviously eat an apple and meditate is clearly rubbish. But beyond the really obvious things, you know, eat an apple and meditate, which, you know, most people can detect as being a bit unreasonable, what do you see as, you know, bad advice that's dressed up as good advice? You know, the stuff that's a little bit harder to kind of, you know, spot on the radar.
What I really love, and I don't know, Jemima, if this is what you were going to say, but what I really love is the how to be an overnight success.
Oh.
Facebook ads that you see, like, follow my proven 5-step formula to success and you'll make $1 million in 5 minutes. And people get sucked in by this, particularly if they're having a really bad day in business, or, you know, they've had a big failure, or they're finding it difficult to really find their feet, particularly in the beginning. And they see these promises of, you know, make $1 million in 5 minutes by following this exact 5-step formula.
Yeah.
And they buy into this, and then, you know, they can end up being very disappointed. And it's not to say that the 5-step formula isn't valuable. It's the formula itself could be very valuable, but what you need to understand is that every business is different, and it has its own unique personality and its own, like, it will go in its own journey. So, for example, my mentoring and coaching business has been growing steadily. The podcast completely took off. I work with women, some of them who have more than one business, and they'll come to talk to me because they'll be like, well, my first business, you know, was really successful, and now I've started this second business and I just can't get it off the ground. Like, it's failing and I don't know what's happening. And I think one person's success or one business's success can't always be exactly replicated. And I think particularly for people going out there for the first time, it's about finding what particularly works for you and who can help you actually achieve that. But that's one. We see this all the time, people who try to follow these proven formulas and somebody else's success, which isn't always as successful.
The other one that I absolutely just want to root my hair out whenever someone says it to me, there's a few of them, but specifically when people say, I've got a business plan and I'm working to it and I won't deviate from that, because the advice is, you know, once you write a business plan, you must work to the business plan 100% of the time, continue with that. Here's a bit of a secret. Your business is going to do what it wants to do. You can dress, it's like having a toddler, right? You can dress your business up to be a princess every day, and that's the direction that you want it to go. But if your business wants to be a Tyrannosaurus Rex for the day, it's going to do it. You can try. We have tried so many times to course correct everything that we have done. Both of us have in our own businesses, and we have been like, no, this is where I want it to go. Your business doesn't care what you think it should be doing. It's going to do what it's going to do. And you have to kind of learn to roll with it. And so don't hold on to your business plans too tightly, because that was another bit of advice, was like, write a business plan and hold on to it really tightly. Definitely the overnight success thing is not a thing. Every overnight success that you've ever met took 10 years of hard work behind the scenes.
Yeah. And I think, like, to your point, Jemima, I think it's really about, you know, you have to have some kind of strategy, obviously, but really a lot of it is dealing with what is as opposed to what if or what might be. Or, you know, and a lot of people get really focused on, well, this isn't the way that I expected it to be, and this isn't how I wanted it to go, and this da-da-da-da-da, instead of actually looking at it and going, well, where is it going? How could I make the most out of this? What do I need to do next? You know, that kind of thing. And I think it's hard because you're not, like, the other thing is, like, if you're going to think small business and you're going to just think, you know, this is what I'm doing today and this is the clients I have today and this is the clients I have this week, then you're always only going to be a small business. And I think in order to really grow a successful business and become a successful entrepreneur, it's about not only thinking about what you're doing today, but also thinking about, well, what's happening in my industry? You know, where do I want to take this in the future? You know, all of those kind of things. It's kind of like your brain is at two places at once. Because you have to stay relevant. You have to keep ahead of the game in your industry. And we've all seen those businesses that have failed to do that and have become irrelevant.
So much, again, you know, such wisdom there, guys. And, you know, Jemima, coming to your point about, you know, your business a bit like a toddler, you know, you might want it to do one thing, yet it has a mind of its own. I have to tell you just really quickly, I have a daughter whose name is also Jemima. And And she's a sweet little thing. And just, I just have to tell this story really quickly. It's not really relevant, but it's fun. Speaking of dressing up, she was due to go to kindy. This is when she was a lot younger, and she was wanting to go as a princess. But her princess outfit included having tights on her head and the legs as ears for the day. So, you know, that was not the sweet little princess that we imagined going to kindy that particular day. And but it is... I guess the point of me sharing that story with you is things happen. You have these things, you know, these great intentions, the plan, as you say, and life happens. And we need to be able to adapt and course correct, as you say. And again, speaking to your point, Siobhan, is that, you know, the overnight success that, you know, people see in their Facebook feed, you know, I started my business, you know, 2 weeks ago and I'm making $1 million. It is just rubbish. And in dentistry, what we see in particular of that same vein is that, you know, if you want to ensure that you've got an appointment book that's, you know, chock-a-block full of patients, you know, who just eagerly want your care and services, you know, follow my two-step, three-step, four-step, five-step method. And everyone's looking for a magic bullet, and there is no magic bullet. It just doesn't exist.
You have to work hard. Like,
yeah,
it's hard work, and you have to
work hard. There's no escaping it. There's no escape.
Yeah. And I just want to say, like, I just want to go back to your point about the princess and your daughter. And this is what I love about this. And this is where I think, and like, we're getting off into a whole other topic of conversation, which, you know, we could go on forever. Maybe we need another podcast.
Dress ups.
But I think one of the key mistakes that we make from when, you know, we're from children through to adulthood is that we tell people that things have to be defined in a certain way. So if you're going to be a princess, you have to look a certain way, you have to act a certain way, and everything has to be a certain way. Whereas in entrepreneurship, what we're saying is that you can be a princess, however, whatever princess means to you and however you bring your own vibe to princess is totally fine. So if you want to wear your leggings on your head and that's your, you know, that's your version of princess, then that's awesome. Like, go with that. Like, focus more on you individually and your strengths and your approach to things as opposed to what everyone else is doing or what everyone else's definition of success is.
Completely agree. And, you know, having your own rules rather than following everyone else's rules, I think is really critical. And as you quite rightly pointed out, I think the very first episode of this podcast I did was around the definition of success. And it was exactly the point you've spoken about, is you've got to know what success looks like for you. And if it is being a princess with tights on your head and you rock it, then awesome. That's cool. And just as an aside, she really did rock it. So, you know.
I think she's entrepreneurial, Jesse. Like, I get the sense that she's going to, you know, be achieving big things in the future.
Don't tell me how to wear my tights. Watch this.
Exactly. You couple out of this, Dad. Yeah, no, actually, she's entrepreneurial, so that's cool. Hey, guys, we have covered a fair bit of territory today, and I'm really conscious of the fact that you guys have taken so much time out of your day to come and hang with us, and I'm truly grateful, not just for the fun time and the banter, but for the absolute wisdom and insight that you've shared with the audience. What I'd really just like to finish up with is, this is a question actually for Sonia Yadav, if you're listening. Sonia, I met recently at an event, and she was telling me that I've changed the format of my podcast and why don't I go back to the old way. So I love that little bit of feedback. But the question I really wanted to ask from you guys is, I suppose, a double-barreled question. Who are the people that have influenced you most? And second part of that is, if you could invite anyone around for dinner, given that Siobhan doesn't cook and you're probably going to order in, who would you have around the dinner table to break bread with?
Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yeah, Gary V.
Gary V.
Daniel Flynn from Thank You. Richard Branson.
Tony Robbins. This is really – Jesse, do you want to come for dinner?
I'm in. Count me in. I'm there. Yeah.
I'd also like, from an aside, Liam Hemsworth, for fans of our podcast will know that he's my other husband. I'll also take Ellen DeGeneres. She's up there.
Yeah. Oprah.
She's pretty, yeah, she can come too. I like Oprah. She's cool. There are so many. I think all of those people that we've just named are pretty much mentors of us, minus Liam Hemsworth. I just think he's really good looking. But all of those people that we've listed are people that really have gone, you know, and I think we can throw names around like Oprah and Tony Robbins, and all we see is a really successful person. Whereas when you get to know their story and know the adversity that they've gone through, and actually, and, you know, they're people that we that are very open and authentic in who they are. And I mean, we talk about Gary Vaynerchuk a lot on the show. And it's an ongoing joke that he's my other husband. But
Jemima marries a lot, like, just to put it out there.
You must be exhausted and very patient.
Yeah. I'm sure that you asked Daniel Flynn to marry you as well at some point. So, you know, like Dave is just.
Yeah, my partner is.
Fiance Dave is like, yeah, whatever. But, but like, on the point of Gary Vaynerchuk or Gary V, can I just mention something which I think is kind of important? He has this quote around what the best marketing strategy is, and you've probably heard it for those of you out there who follow him. But he says, and this isn't the exact word for word quote, but it's along the lines of, you know, the best marketing strategy ever is to care. And I think that is something that we have definitely implemented in, you know, marketing our podcast and our business, is that everything we do is to help business owners. Everything we do is to connect them. In our everyday, every decision we make is with the end purpose of actually making a difference for them. And he's really real about entrepreneurship. Like, he calls it like it is. It's quite a similar vein to what we do. So, yeah, you know, he is a very unique character, so he's not everyone's cup of tea, but he's definitely someone that we talk about a lot, because, you know, he goes out there and he is just like, you know, guess what? The market doesn't care about how you feel. The market cares about what problems you solve for them. Like, he talks about real pieces of gold that a lot of entrepreneurs really need to hear and understand. So definitely worth following.
I forgot someone, and I forgot someone, and I feel really bad about it. We need to invite Sheryl Sandberg.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yeah,
she has to come too.
If she can get over my Instagram incident, which, you know, for those who haven't heard, I had a what the bleep moment, which is something we do on the show, where I called Jemima screaming that I thought Sheryl Sandberg had followed me on Instagram. And actually what had happened was I was looking in my following column.
You had followed her. And so Shem announces this on the podcast and we had to retract it later.
Oopsie.
Yeah. but anyway.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe this is where you've got to meditate, eat the apple, put it out to the universe, and she will follow you back.
Well, we did.
We just keep calling her. She's not
returning your calls.
We did a post about it and tagged her. She didn't write back. We'll invite her. We're not giving up, Cheryl.
She's coming around to
dinner. We can invite her for dinner, and I'm sure we'll do that
better. Yeah. She'll be in for that for sure, no doubt. Yeah. And she'll bring Mark along as well, just for company.
Yes. Definitely. Yeah, he seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, awesome. Hey, his dad's a dentist. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. That's really interesting. Look at you knowing all the famous dentists. Hey,
look, I tell you, we produce interesting offspring. We might, yeah, that's why we marry each other. Dentists tend to marry each other. It keeps us out of general circulation, but we do produce interesting offspring.
Yeah, clearly. I mean, I'm sure there's a story about Mark Zuckerberg walking around with, like, tights on his head when he was a toddler.
Look, if he was cool, he would have done it. Hey guys, I really want to say thanks so much for coming on to the show today. You guys are wonderful, you're fun, you're knowledgeable, you're insightful, and it's been an absolute blast to have you on the Savvy Dentist podcast. And for anyone listening, I'd encourage you to head across to the Business Experiment podcast. Loads of good information and wonderful stories and insight there from the ladies. And again, thanks so much, guys.
Oh, thank you, Jesse. Thank you for having us. It's been an absolute treat.
Thanks, Jesse.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.